Good morning. 11:36 a.m. Yeah, I should make it home before noon, just barely. But I'm out. I'm walking, I'm talking, and I have to say that the nope is strong in this one today, let me tell you that. The nope is strong. But I went and looked at my habit tracker, and I haven't missed a day all month. I have to go back and look and see when the last day I missed was, but I haven't missed a day all month. Sunday, November the 13th, 13 days in a row, at least. Okay, well, it's still morning, I'm walking, so this is me talking on my morning walk. I don't know what I'm going to talk about today. Walking in sunshine here this morning, I don't even have a jacket on. I put my hat on to keep my eyes protected and the sun off my bald head, but I'm just wearing a sweatshirt. It's a little warm. It's a little warm even for that, even with the breeze, because it is actually a gorgeous fall day. It is a spectacularly beautiful morning. So I've been doing more education. I've been doing more research. I've been doing more to try to find out what I need to know to get beyond this. And the pragmatist in me says, okay, fine. The idealist in me says, all right, well, this is, maybe it's the stoic, or maybe it's the pragmatist, but it's, okay, well, this is what we got. This is what we're going to have to deal with. Unfortunately, racism, bigotry, xenophobia is not criminal. Unless it's expressed in an action that violates some regulation. And at the moment, making racist and xenophobic statements is not a crime. It's actually protected. Something I read was, I read two parallel thoughts. One was a very sympathetic sort of reality check from a person of color who said that, and of course I am paraphrasing because God knows I can't remember that far. I only remember what I had for breakfast because I only had breakfast a few minutes ago. So, anyway. Those of you who are feeling sick and threatened and in danger, welcome to my world. which goes to a certain extent to explain why so many people who are people of color, so many blacks, so many Hispanics, this is baked in for them. This is normal. This is every day. This was before the election. This is before this year. This is what they go through. This is what they live with. And now, so do we. And there was a parallel stream with women who, in a somewhat less sympathetic fashion, said, yeah, hey, welcome to my world. And I get it. There's an interesting Vox piece about the smug liberals. And it was hard to read, but I get it. I think it's one of the problems with being me, whatever I am, is that I have a hard time. I'm not always making the best decision, so I will start there. But I always try to make the best decisions I can based on the information that I have. And the difficulty there is Dunning-Kruger, novice expert thinking. I don't necessarily know what I don't know. And we're all guilty of it because we don't all know everything. But to get a couple beers in almost anybody and they'll be expert on all of it. Me included. So I've spent a lot of time reading op-eds from Al Jazeera. Yes, them. Not Al-Qaeda, Al Jazeera. I should probably read some Al-Qaeda. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And I've learned a lot. I still don't know enough. It seems to me like there's some fundamental questions that we can address that bypass the hot button issues. And the question is whether or not sufficient common ground can overcome the hot button issues, like immigration. Can we get enough common ground on immigration? To overcome the people who are reacting out of a kind of instinctive self-protectionism, if that's a word. So, the way this works is that somebody recently made a comment about how the immigrants coming into the country weren't actually joining the melting pot. They weren't actually becoming Americans. They were just creating these little enclaves of their own people. And they didn't see this as immigration as much as colonization. I see the point. I really do see the point, but I don't agree with it. And there's a couple of reasons why. First, go back and pull a model from history. We brought Chinese immigrants in by the boatload and Irish immigrants in by the boatload. to build the railroads. And then we had a little problem, because they weren't blending in. So it's very difficult for the Chinese to blend in. It's a lot easier for the Irish. Lose the accent and leave Boston, and you're pretty much whatever you want to be. Native New Yorker. You only have to say, I'm from New York, or I'm from New England. You don't have to say, I'm from Cork. Chinese had a little bit of a different problem, because physically they're other. They don't look the same. But to argue that the Chinese came to colonize America and have been successful, they may have been successful in buying into America in the last 20 years, but to argue that the immigrants have colonized America is to miss the point of what's actually happened with the immigrants. Yes, there are Chinatowns in most major cities, places where people of common background, common ancestry, common roots collide and combine to celebrate their commonality, which one could argue would also explain why Des Moines exists, or Grand Rapids exists. It's a natural outshoot of a very human idea of affiliation. And we didn't make it easy for the Chinese, the new immigrants, the people whose children spoke English in school but Mandarin or Cantonese at home. We don't make it easy for the children of the Somali refugees. Even here in Greeley, we have a wonderful population of Somalians, Somalis, whatever they are. Somalis. They're Muslims. I'm okay with that. I mean, if you think Sharia law is bad because it's based on the Quran, you should really have a problem with Mike Pence, because his entire rationale, his entire public face, his entire belief structure as demonstrated by his record in Indiana is based on the Bible. If you think it's okay to base stuff on the Bible but not on Quran, there's a problem. It's called the Establishment Clause. It's in the Constitution. This is a problem. It's not that there's an attack on Christianity. There's a defense of the Constitution. And while the people who want to be evangelical, the people who want to share the word, I sympathize. Yeah, it probably feels like we're singling you out. We're not, really. I'm not. I don't. You want to be evangelical? Fine. It's your right to try to be evangelical. That's protected in the Constitution. What's not protected in the Constitution is have laws founded on biblical teachings. That's not protected. And so we have this sort of schism. We have this sort of breakdown. And a lot of it, and it pains me to admit it, but a lot of it has to do with media. A lot of it has to do with the Fourth Estate. Because while we have three branches of government enshrined in the Constitution, we have the Fourth Estate, which is granted explicit protection in the same regard. It's even more explicit than the protection for freedom of religion. because Jefferson and Franklin and the good old boys way back when realized what a lot of us have apparently forgotten, me included, that an educated populace is the first defense of the Republic. And without a vibrant, vigorous, independent fourth estate, there is no opportunity for the people to be informed adequately to be able to govern. And that's the other thing. It's the people who govern. We elect those folks that go to Washington, that go to our state capitals, to go to our townhouses. We elect those people to speak in our names. And we need to keep track. We need to keep track of those sons of bitches. So the answer isn't to abandon MSNBC in favor of Fox News. The answer isn't to give up on all of them and go to CNN. The answer is not to look to the Wall Street Journal. The answer is to look to all of them. I've really had to cast a very jaundiced eye at some of my favorite news programs and wonder, are there things they're not telling me? It's been a really good example. They talked about Trump. What else happened in the world besides Trump? Some stuff did. I know a lot of stuff did. But it didn't rise to the level of catastrophe. It didn't become the top story. It didn't become the breaking news. It was, if mentioned at all, a 2-inch blurb on page 47 in section D. Which is what's led me to back to my, I hate Feedly, but it's handy and it works. I've gone back into my Feedly feed. I've re-energized my Feedly.com account. And I've subscribed, well, I was already subscribed to Al Jazeera, the English, aljazeera.com, and to Reuters. Reuters, Thomson, was it Thomson Reuters? It's a British news syndicate that is similar to the AP, but is based on the other side of the pond. It's not controlled by Rupert Murdoch. It's not controlled by Jeff Bezos. It's not controlled by the same media conglomerates that control most of American media. They're not controlled by Gannett. And so every day I can look to see what does the rest of the world think is important. So there was a big earthquake in New Zealand this morning, a really big earthquake in New Zealand this morning. The aftershocks are 5 and 6. I haven't looked at the media today. I don't know what the U.S. is reporting. There's a lot of really interesting stuff that I have stumbled on, like Brexit and Trump are not unusual in their nationalist leanings. France is about to face an election wherein they have their own Trump. Marie Le Pen, a nationalist who's going to push for removing France from the EU, which will pretty much mark the end of the EU. Is that a good idea or not? I don't know. But a general EU collapse cannot bode well for the global economy. And if the global economy isn't strong, we're not going to be strong. So it's worth watching. But anyway, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.